Very much. Great music this morning. I hope your heart has been blessed and stirred. And I look forward to tonight. I thank all of the people that have given of their time and energy and talents to prepare the talent that we enjoy and are so blessed by here on a weekly basis. I'm thankful for parents that invested in the lives of their kids so they might play these instruments. And thankful for the choir members, the sacrifices that have been made. I'm very thankful for God bringing Brother Jeff Vandenberg to us. He and his family have been a great blessing, and appreciate their direction in the music. And just praise the Lord for this good service and the good beginning to the service. Take your Bibles this morning and go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. Now, there are different paths that parents take in delivering Christmas gifts to their children. There are some that will give out Christmas gifts, and they will, in fact, have them wrapped neatly under the tree. The kids come on that Christmas morning and open those gifts and enjoy. Then there are those parents that will hide gifts, and they'll have a gift in the tree, and they'll say to their kids, "Now, you have to look through the tree to find that last gift or two." And so kids are looking behind ornaments and around tinsel and everything like that, trying to find that last gift. And normally, the smaller the gift, the more valuable the gift, right? And so you're looking all over the tree. But then there are some parents that are a bit devious in this, and they love for their kids to go on that scavenger hunt to find that last gift. And so they'll open a gift, and it will have a piece of paper that says, "Go and find the next clue." And they'll go to this closet, and there'll be a sign in that closet that says, "Go to this place." And then they find their way out to the garage, and they got a new bike or something like that. And it takes a little bit more work and effort to find that significant gift. This morning in the message, as we kind of have a longer text, but I want to reserve the specific section of this text for next Sunday morning, and what Mary said in her praises to Almighty God. We'll end off this morning in Luke chapter number 1 in the section that deals with Mary's visit to Elizabeth, and then focus in on what Mary said about the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that that would be very appropriate for next Sunday morning. So be back with us if at all possible, and we'll look at what Mary voiced as it related to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, my friend, it's very much in contrast to what man-made religion has said about Mary and what Mary said about herself. And so a very appropriate section for us to look at next Sunday morning. But we come to this passage, and if we look at these verses 39 to 45, and we consider them as that easy gift under the tree, go to the tree, take the box, open it up, and unwrap it, and you have the gift. We could do that. And I could read these verses, and we could all say, "Isn't that nice that Mary went to visit her cousin? And isn't it nice that they had a chat together? And isn't it nice that they were able to encourage one another in the miracles that were presented to both of them?" But I believe, my friend, that there is much for us in these verses. And if we'll do a little bit more digging, either this morning in the message or in our own personal time of meditation and devotion throughout the week, I believe that there is much more for us to gain from these verses. And so if you have your Bibles handy, and I hope you have them there in your lap, and maybe a piece of paper and a pen, you can jot down these things. The overriding theme of these two sections of verses 39 and then all the way to verse number 56, is that of confirming what the angel has recently said unto Mary. Confirmation as it relates to the blessings that were shared from the angel Gabriel. Now, we're going to look at the first section, and we're going to look at this first point, the place of refuge, a place that Mary could go and find refuge. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday morning, we'll look at Mary's prayer of rejoicing. But look with me at verses 39 to 45 this morning. 39 to 45. The Bible says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Items that are confirming what the angel said unto Mary. Let's pray and ask God's direction this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity to stand before these dear folks. We thank you for the guests and family members and friends and our church family here at FBT. Thank you for their presence here this morning. I thank you for the beautiful music that we've listened to today. Thank you for the significant effort that has been put forth that we might enjoy your praises in song and contemplate these words and contemplate the wonderful tune. Lord, I pray that you direct our attention now to this time of interaction between Mary and Elizabeth. As the issues that the angel presented unto Mary are now confirmed by other people, Lord, what a joy to dig down deep to see what you have for us in this Christmas season. Bless and direct what I say today. Direct my thoughts, and I pray that I be a help and a blessing to all that have come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would, go back with me to the verses. In verses 37 and 38, the Bible says, For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What now? The significant announcement has been given. The throne of heaven has sent the emissary, and he's delivered the message to Mary, and Mary has declared, Be it unto me as thou hast stated. I will be God's servant in this matter. I will abide by the word from heaven. The Bible says the angel departs. What now? Do I go and tell someone? Do I run out of the house and begin to spread the news abroad? I'm going to give birth to Messiah. Do I go down to the local newspaper and make the word known there? And maybe they print a special article, The Coming of Messiah. Do I go to the Capitol and begin to let everyone know in the hierarchy of the structure of the government, the King is coming? Do I go out and begin to earn funding because I know now that I've got much to do that I might raise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Where do I go? Who do I tell? When will all of this come to pass? So many questions. Where could I go? Where could she go at that time? And really what we find here in these verses is that God is directing in her life and directing her to that place for consolation and confirmation of what was about to transpire. We see in these verses, number one, Mary's place of refuge. And I bring that up because I believe that it is critical for us to have an understanding of what could have happened. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, all the way back to the law in Deuteronomy. I want to show you some verses here in Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22. If you would, hold your places there in Luke chapter 1, and we will return shortly. But I want you to see the law as given by God to Moses and what was declared about a situation like this. Deuteronomy chapter number 22, verse number 23. Deuteronomy 22 and verse number 23. The Bible says in verse number 23, If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband And the man find her in the city and lie with her. Then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. And the damsel, because she cried not being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. Now I want the weight of those verses to sit in. When the word begins to progress and to pass one from another, and the word is given that Mary is with child, the typical thought process would be Mary's betrothed to Joseph. This baby does not belong to Joseph, therefore Mary has been unfaithful, and so Mary and the individual that she's been unfaithful with will be put to death. There, my friend, is the demand of the law. We know Mary was going to give birth of the seed of the Holy Ghost. It was not from the seed of man. It was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He would be born of the seed of the Holy Spirit of God. But no doubt there would be whispers. Mary's with child. Mary's with child. All these years I thought Mary was such a significant young lady and so pure. And now we find this out about Mary. I can't believe this has happened to sweet little Mary. So where does Mary go? If this in fact were to be the case, if it were given in the law that those that were betrothed would face such a punishment, where does Mary go? And we find that God had detailed the place of actual refuge. Mary was going to go to her cousin's home. And isn't it interesting that at the beginning of Luke chapter 1, we find that Mary's cousin's husband was a priest in Israel. And so the Bible tells us that she heads to Elizabeth to stay with Elizabeth and Zacharias, the home of an ordained priest. Would have been just about the last place Mary would have gone if she had anything to hide. But we find that Mary comes in again back in Luke chapter number 1. Mary comes into the household and immediately the household is set with excitement. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, the Bible says, the angel declared that it was a sign of the promise that had been given to Mary, that in fact Elizabeth was going to conceive a child in her old age. And she was actually in the sixth month in carrying that child. As we've declared in the messages before, it's in all likelihood that Elizabeth was well nigh into her 80s. And I don't know if the news had passed to Mary that Elizabeth was with child, but certainly if Mary had heard the news, she would think to herself, what manner of things can these items be that an 80-year-old or more would be giving birth to a child? And she goes to find refuge there in the home of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, as we consider this place of refuge, would you consider, first of all, the miracle of the baby's response? The miracle of the baby's response. And here we go deeper on the matter. The Bible says, and it came to pass, verse number 41, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Now, for the moms that are gathered here in the auditorium and you experienced that kind of movement in your womb through the year or through the months of the process of giving birth, and you began to feel the movement of that child. No doubt, as we've interacted with moms, some have said, my child has been very, very active. It keeps me up at night. And then I consider the moms that we have in our midst that have given birth to twins. And oh, what it must have been like as those twins wrestled back and forth at times. And then we even have moms that have given birth to triplets. Oh my goodness. Three in the process of and giving birth. But I tell you what an exciting time here for this lady that is well on in years, feeling the energy and the excitement of the promised child that has been placed within her womb. For all these years, she has been barren, and now the time has come that she is carrying her own son. And the energy and the excitement as she hears the knock on the door and the salutations from Mary and the energy and excitement. Oh, a friend, a family member has come to rejoice with me in this birth. And the babe leaps in the womb. Now, my friend, I think that speaks much about that babe. But if I could take just a moment of a parenthetical thought. Whenever I read these passages of Scripture as they're given in the Word of God, it fires me all the more about the greatest travesty in our nation, and that is the tragedy and travesty of abortion. Very clearly in the Word of God, the Bible details for us the nature of the human being that exists within the womb of mom. And I tell you what, right here in the passage, we see the miracle of the baby's response. The baby has ears and can hear what is going on the outside. The baby leaps. The baby has a response. The baby has energy. And do you know that we have leaders in our country that have no problem taking a baby at this stage of life and destroying it as though it is just some kind of extra flap of skin? It disgusts me to no end to think that anyone can believe that that life inside of that womb is of no value. It disgusts me to no end that they would think that it's okay to give birth to this baby. And as long as we snip that spinal cord before the baby comes out, that it's just getting rid of something that is unwanted. My friend, to ever believe that abortion is right, the individual would have to throw this book totally away. Because abortion, my friend, is murder. And throughout the Scriptures, we see that God details for us the very precious nature of life. And life begins at conception. Now, let me go further on this matter. If I haven't upset the political mindset yet, let me go further on this matter. Because God says all the way back in Jeremiah chapter 1, to a man by the name of Jeremiah, he says, before you were formed there in the womb, I knew thee. God understands the process and how all of this comes to pass. And the Bible says that life is significant to Almighty God. And if that life is significant to God, it should be significant to us. In Psalm 139, David said, "Thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." God declares that baby in the womb is significant, and that baby in the womb is a life. You say, "Well, Pastor, I've listened to a lot of PhDs. I don't care what the PhDs say. I listen to God who cannot lie." And God declares that baby is significant. When you and I have the chance to let our leadership know, whether it's a congressman or congresswoman or senator that is serving, when we have the opportunity to let them know, we ought to always stand up for life as Bible-believing Christians. One of the things that troubles me, and one of the things that I just don't get with the crowd that wants to end life on the front side, they do not understand that when you make any life insignificant, it will actually at some point in time come back to affect your life. You see, when they demean the value of life on the front side, it's just a matter of time before they demean the value of life on the other side. We have a young lady in Tennessee that when she was born, the umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck, and so it cut off the oxygen to half of her brain. And so when she was born, it definitely affected her body. And there would have been those that would have said to her mom, "Listen, go ahead and just end her life because she'll be of little to no value to the world." Can I tell you this morning in 2017, that young lady's almost 30 years old. She lives on her own, drives on her own, and is one of the best gospel witnesses that I have ever seen. Can I tell you of another young man that was born here in this area, dear friends of ours? And they told the mom and the dad, "Look, he's got all kinds of health issues. He'll probably struggle all of his life. It'll be multiple surgeries. Just go ahead and abort him and save yourself the time and the hassle and the struggles of all of these things. Just go ahead and end the life right now." Do you know that they did not listen to the doctor, but they had that child? And that young man has been at several vacation Bible schools that I've directed and is one of the best young athletes in the elementary kids. And he's one of the best memorizers of verses of Scripture. He's one of the finest young men you can imagine because the parents did not listen to the geniuses as it relates to life and the value of life. Now, let's turn our attention to the son that we're talking about here in the passage. This son is no less than John the Baptist. Jesus declared in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 11, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Jesus declared that this babe that was going to be born to Elizabeth would be the finest of all men that had ever been born. This is the babe inside the womb that hears all these things going on around him and leaps in the womb as Mary arrives and gives salutations. You see, I believe that this is the earliest of days where John the Baptist would start pointing people to Jesus Christ. With great excitement, John the Baptist will declare in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." This is the beginning of John the Baptist saying, "Jesus has come, and He is the answer for your sins." This is the babe there in the womb of Elizabeth. The miracle of the conception there in Elizabeth, the miracle of what was going to come with John the Baptist, the miracle of this baby's response. But then I also want you to see this morning quickly the miracle of Elizabeth's response. The miracle of Elizabeth's response. Verse number 42, the Bible says, "She spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her of my Lord." I want you to digest what is taking place. And again, let's go just a bit deeper on this, just deeper than just the surface reading of these verses. Elizabeth had much to be excited about. She had much within her own life. She had the potential birth of this boy, and she could have been directing all attention to that coming child. Mary, come in. I've got so much to tell you about. Have you heard the miracle that was been done, that's been done in my body? I'm going to give birth to this boy. God has promised this son. All of the focus could have been in on her. And yet the Bible makes a significant statement. The Bible says she was filled with the Spirit. And so her response is much different than what we would expect from two moms that are talking in this day and age. One mom wants to declare excitement and pride for what they've been given. Another mom wants to declare excitement and pride for what they've been given. And maybe there's a little bit of a wrestling match for which one has the better child, the better prospects. But I tell you what, the Bible says here that a very spiritually minded lady, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, directs her attention to the significance of the child that would be born to Mary. I want you to see the things she says. Number one, she speaks the things, as we understand this, she speaks the things of God. She speaks of Mary's unique position. Look at this in verse number 42. Blessed art thou among women. Tragically, religions have declared, blessed art thou above women. And they've elevated Mary to being on a plane with deity, but that's not what she declares. Blessed art thou among women. She speaks of Mary's unique position. Number two, she speaks of her baby's response. Hey, Mary, this is what happened as I heard your salutations. This is what occurred in my womb as it relates to the son that God has given to me. But listen to this further. The Bible says she speaks of her own need. The Bible says there in verse 43, she says that the mother of my Lord should come to me. She speaks of her need of the Savior. And you'll note in these words and in these verses that there is zero jealousy or envy between Elizabeth and the son that she was going to give birth to, and the matter that was there with Mary and the coming child. And then notice this in verse number 45, she praises Mary for her submissiveness to God's will. Blessed is she that believed, for these shall be, or for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mary, in all my years of walking with the Lord and following God's will, I've prayed prayers and I've seen prayers answered. I've now seen the miraculous occur in my own body. When our physical age would say that there's no way possible for me to have a child, God has overcome that and has granted me a son. But Mary, as we consider what has already transpired and the miracles that have already occurred, there is coming within you a greater miracle. And it would be the miracle of God becoming flesh and taking upon Himself the form of a servant. And she declares with this statement, there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now I ask you, if you would, to just flip back one time to the beginning of this chapter and read these words as it relates to Elizabeth and Zacharias in verse number 6. And the Bible says in verse number 6, listen to this carefully. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Do you know why Elizabeth had this response? Not of jealousy and envy, but of joy and excitement. Do you know why she could have this kind of energy? While she had so much to tell, while she had so much to be excited about, why she wanted to, I'm sure, share so much with Mary. Her son was not the focus, but her son was going to point the focus, would be that forerunner of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't know about you, my friend, but I would pray that we as believers here at FBT would walk so closely to the Lord that the spirit of Elizabeth would be found in all of us. That we would have such an energy for pointing people to Jesus Christ, such an energy for what God is doing in the lives of others, such an energy for what God is doing in other people's children and other people's grandchildren, that we could have set aside the pettiness of jealousy, the pettiness of envy, and just say, praise God, He's still at work. The spiritual walk of Elizabeth, that place of refuge where Mary went, was confirmation of what the angel had declared.